The lesson tonight is on gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. Longfellow wrote, "And the night shall be filled with music, and the cares that infest the day shall fold their tents like Arabs and as silently steal away." In the long night of the soul that many of us have experienced, there have been cares, problems, concerns, failures, defeats, or seeming defeats. But there is a music that can begin to sound within your own soul, a music whose vibration will cause the disintegration of all cares, of all that is not in perfect harmony with divine order. And if you and I can strike that musical note within our own soul, if we can strike that vibration within us, all cares will fold their tents and silently steal away. There is a divine order and harmony, and it is yours, but it does require something of us. And the requirement is that we begin to let it sing its song through us as us. The cardinal that I heard singing down the street this morning sounded as though it believed with all its heart that all was well. It sang that song that made my heart pick up the vibration of spring, of the opening of life, of the bud expanding, the leaf appearing, life surging forward into new forms and new colors and new shapes. You know the feeling of the demonstration of life following the season where life appears to have not existed at all, the season of winter, silence, deadness. Let your heart begin to vibrate with that feeling now. Let a new song, a new vibration, a new feeling come into your heart. Do you know how it feels when you feel so good you can just hardly stand it? Do you know the feeling? Well, feel it. Give yourself permission to begin to feel it. Let that vibration begin to flow through you. It feels good to feel good. There's no substitute for feeling good. Let it begin to flow. Let your heart begin to sing a new song, a joyful song, a song of praise. Thanksgiving. And many of you have been sending me notes and writing me letters and calling me on the telephone, telling me about the marvelous changes that have taken place in your world that you can not only see with the eye, but those other inner changes that perhaps are even more important, the changes in your consciousness, in your beingness. Someone wrote me a letter that I'll read to you in part. "Dear Jack, by coming from my old ideas, by expressing these old limited ideas, I have cheated those about me of knowing me as I really am. These negative experiences have programmed me to respond to life from my lesser self. But in these last few weeks, that free, unfettered, that happy God person within me is now emerging to love and to live and to experience life on a scale so grand that I never before believed it to be possible for me. Coming from the sanity of truth is infinitely better than coming from the insanity of fiction. To comprehend our intrinsic worth is to stop living the lies so effectively told to us by others and so readily believed by our own mind. To comprehend our intrinsic worth. Do you believe that you have great worth? Do you really believe that about yourself? Have you come to feel and to know within yourself in these last weeks that you have merit and value? Not because of what you've accomplished in life. That is not what gives us worth. But because of our spiritual nature, because of the fact that we were created to be channels through whom this universal harmony and music and this divine order could flow out into life expressing itself. But one must begin to believe in their worth. The only value that we can get from life is the value that we have established as being our own. And one of the problems has been that our heart has not believed, our feeling nature has not believed that we really did count for very much. If you've not yet faced that old idea within yourself, you'll find it there, and it must be someday reckoned with, and this would be the time. You see, that's the lie that we must stop living, that I have no value, I am not important, I am too old or too not so pretty or something. That's the lie. Jesus was a master teacher, and he was also a great demonstrator. Now, it was important that he demonstrated what he taught, for only in this way is a teaching or a teacher valid. Let me ask you, are you making your own demonstration in life a visible demonstration that you can see and that others can behold? Are these new ideas that you are believing in and beginning to feel, are they coming alive as experiences? Can you see the new contents of your mind taking form and shape in the world around you as new experiences or old experiences passed away? The new shape and form of your world, and perhaps even of your own body. And certainly of your moods and attitudes. You see, anyone can think a good game or talk a good game, but only a few people make a demonstration of the good that God has in store for each one of us. And all that the Father has is ours. All that God has is ours, and it is God's will that you inherit and demonstrate that kingdom of good. My God will supply every need of yours. Every need. Every need that you can possibly have, the creative intelligence that is sustaining the universe is ready and willing and able to supply. I said that Jesus was a demonstrator, and you know that I didn't mean that he was one who marched down a street with a sign. No, a demonstration is the act of making evident or of proving a thing. It's conclusive evidence of proof, a manifestation. It means to show. It comes from a word which means divine portent. It means to show forth the divine possibilities that exist in life. That's what your demonstration is. Not just what you want, but your demonstration is you showing forth what God wills you to show forth. It's proving the master plan that already exists, but proving it for yourself in your own experience. And our prosperity, though, must first become tangible and visible to our minds. Nothing can become visible in the outer world until it becomes tangible, visible, real, until it comes alive within ourselves. So alive that we begin to think of our good and feel of our good and speak of our good as though it already existed. Even before the eye can see it, the mind must begin to see it as a very real and tangible experience that has the quality of feeling. And the excitement of expectancy. Now, there's a way to achieve this state of mind. And for 12 weeks now, we've been working to perfect a mental spiritual system that will connect us with this free flowing good that is the universe. All of the good and the power that the universe is trying to flow through this channel that you call yourself. You see, prosperity is not things or the having of things. Prosperity comes from the practicing of a spiritual system of thinking and feeling. We call it new thought, a new way of thinking, and a new way of feeling about our new way of thinking. Prosperity is not increasing your indebtedness level another $1,000. It's not getting your hands on another credit card and saying, boy, I've got it now. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is becoming a channel through whom good flows out into manifestation and into application, through whom good flows from its source to its use. You are a point or a connection through whom good flows from a source into application. Perfect circulation. And you're a point along the path of that perfect circulation. Prosperity is not in having, but in being. Now, if prosperity's first commandment then is, I shall look to no other source but God for my supply, that's the first law or the first commandment of prosperity. Then prosperity's last commandment becomes, I shall express my gratitude, my thanksgiving, and my praise to God for my supply. These are the first and the last commandments or laws about prosperity. And in our lessons, we've been studying the laws that are necessary for our demonstration. And also, we've been working with techniques wherein that we can take these principles and apply them. Techniques of application. Personal application of universal laws. And the system of ideas that we've been working with is a complete and whole system. It's one that any one of us can practice. And in the practicing, make our own personal manifestation of a new state of beings, a new prosperity. And tonight, in working with this last law of this system, we can put the frosting on the cake, if you'd like to do it. We can wave the magic wand that will turn the pumpkin into Cinderella's carriage. Tonight we're going to be talking about a magic spiritual emotion. An emotion without which no demonstration can ever be complete or permanent or lasting. Now first, before we talk about this magical potion of spiritual emotion, a good phrase that let's consider a little understood spiritual law or truth. There's a basic principle that we've been working with constantly in all of our classes, and we frequently come back to it on Sundays when we are speaking here. And that principle is this, that for every event or experience that you see or experience in the world, there is a corresponding emotion. Everything that exists in form has back of or alongside of that form a corresponding emotion or feeling. The visible world is form and effect. The invisible world is vibration and cause. Now, feeling creates or supplies the vibration that determines the forms or the lack of forms that appear in your world. Let me say it another way. You are always experiencing what you feel, nothing else. And if you do not experience a thing that you want to experience, you're not experiencing that thing because you have not put on the feeling that is the equivalent of that experience. You cannot experience a thing unless you put on the feeling that relates to that experience. You cannot make anything visible in the outer world until you go within yourself and find the feeling or the vibration that corresponds to that thing. You can call it a vibration. You can call it the music of that thing if you like. It is a kind of music, and it exists right here. You can find it in the very center of your being. But once you find the feeling of the thing you desire, you must proceed to feel the feeling until the thing appears. Now, poverty has a feeling. Have you ever felt the feeling of poverty? By poverty, I mean the absence of that which your heart desires or needs. Have you ever felt the feeling of separation from your good? Some of you are feeling it right now. I can feel you feel it. That feeling or that vibration of separation from your good is the separation from your good, and you can never, ever have the experience of your good until you can find the feeling of your good. If you can find the feeling and feel it, then your good must appear. Do you have a feeling for that? Now, the feeling of poverty, after it comes to occupy the heart of a person, occupies it so completely that nothing else can live there until that feeling is driven out of that person's heart. And poverty cannot be changed by subsidizing a person who has a feeling of poverty within themselves. You cannot change it by giving at the outer level. Have you not tried this? It does not work. The poverty feeling will take all the good that you can heap upon it and will lose it or foolishly destroy that good or any opportunities for good. Murder has a feeling that precedes the event. You cannot have the experience unless someone feels the feeling that precedes the event. Rape has a feeling that precedes the event. These things could not happen without the feeling of the feeling. Now, I mention these things because they're good examples that shock your mind. And also because the feeling of poverty is the murder and the rape of your good. It's that feeling that will ravish any good that you might desire or need in your life. Everything called bad in the world has a feeling that precedes it and produces the experience that we call bad. And these feelings or vibrations are what we call negative emotions. And whenever you let bad feelings or vibrations or negative emotions live in your heart, when you let them come to occupy your heart, your feeling nature, you are producing at that moment bad things and bad events for yourself that must follow. They must follow because if you have the vibration of a thing, the form must take its place in your outer world. And there is no other law. Make no mistake about it. Any time that you're experiencing a bad vibration or negative emotion, you are bringing into your life an equivalent event or experience or shape or form. And In that moment, you're murdering your prosperity or your good, and you're raping your own mind. Does that shock you? Hope it does. Because until we see how bad our negative emotions are, we will cling to them and call them strengths. We'll find our strength in anger and resentment and fear all kinds of things and call it good. You know, some of us have had very strong weaknesses. Look at your life, and then look within yourself at your feeling, and you will see that your outer life has had a direct correlation to what your dominant vibrations have been. And if you would change your life, first select the kind of life you wish to live. Select the type of life. And then select the feelings that correspond to that kind of life. Select those feelings. And keep thinking the thoughts and feeling the feelings of that life. And no matter how exalted that life may appear to be to you at that moment, if you will think the thoughts and feel the feelings, it will appear not in your world, but as your world. It will become your world. There will be no other world for you. There is no other world except the world that you think and vibrate to. And your vibration is the song that your heart has been singing. And if your heart has been singing a sad song, my friend, you've had a sad life. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord and come before His presence with singing. Enter His courts with praise. So now that we have again examined the principle of the nature of manifestation or demonstration, let's examine the techniques or methods of application of that principle so that the invisible good that we seek can become the visible experience that will be our demonstration. So that we can experience something that will give us conclusive evidence or proof that we really know what we're thinking about and talking about. That we're not just talking a good game, good ideas, but that it becomes real. Every good thing that exists in the world has its own feeling or vibration. It has its own wavelength that you can tune in on. It's kind of like a radio or a citizens band radio. You know, there have been quite a few articles in the newspapers recently about citizens' bands and the language that they have. And someone sent me in today's mail a clipping from Dallas. There's a certain Baptist church there that has been having quite a problem. Their speaking system has somehow been picking up on CB chatter. And right in the middle of some of the services, some of the strangest things have been said that the minister didn't say, and I'm not going to read to you what they were, but use your own imagination. And a few times, a couple of years ago, we had it happen here. Several times I'd be speaking, and I would hear this strange sound coming out, and I would immediately switch off the speaking system, have a switch here. But you, my friend, are a citizen of the universe, and there is a citizen's band of good, if you want to look at it that way, and you can tune into it. But in order to tune into it, you must tune into the vibration of that good, and you tune in with your heart or your feeling nature. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, so is his experience. So you can have anything you need by having faith. That's the idea, the faculty of the mind that says yes to your good, and then selecting the feeling that corresponds to the experience. If you put these two things together, the Bible says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And this statement, like most of the other statements in the Bible, is purely a psychological and spiritual statement that's written in idiomatic Oriental language, telling us how to lift ourselves up out of poverty and sickness and lack and disease of any kind or any type of limitation that has been self-imposed. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, if I be lifted up out of my old ideas and emotional responses, will draw all men unto me, all things unto me that are necessary for this new life. But to be a lifter-upper, you must lift up your desires to the point of acceptance of your good, seeing yourself as worthy of that good, letting go of the old feelings of guilt and the old negative emotions that say, oh, no, not me. It can't happen to me. What right have I to think that this could happen to me? Am I not a poor, miserable sinner? Probably. But what does that have to do with it? You cannot manifest your good in a depressed state or in a state of guilt. So, behold your vision or your desire. Contemplate the quality of this new life, the kind of this new life. Don't select the specific forms always. Don't try to select James or Mary because they might not want to be in your life. Have you ever thought of that? They may have something else to do, some other game to play. They may be very nice about it. Have you not had someone select you and you were very nice about it, but all the while you said, we're saying, no, 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 no. Select the quality of excellence, the type, and contemplate its reality. And in your feeling nature, rise above all obstacles and obstructions and difficulty. Because all obstacles and obstructions and difficulty are within you. They do not exist within the world. Get above those obstacles within yourself, and you're automatically above them within the world. There are no difficulties in the outer world, only within yourself. Remember that. All of them are within you. And as you contemplate the presence of God within you, you will dissipate automatically all the fearsome shadows that have been lurking in your mind. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Now, the whole process of mental and spiritual and material riches can be summed up in this one lesson, in one word, and that word is gratitude. The mind that vibrates with the feeling of gratitude will demonstrate the continuing experience of prosperity throughout all time. The mind that really learns what gratitude is and vibrates to that magnificent emotion, that king of emotions. You see, gratitude is the basic feeling of prosperity. I said to you earlier that for everything that exists, there is a feeling that must precede it. And gratitude is not a feeling that one gets after prosperity is acquired. If you wait until your good arrives to begin to feel grateful for it, you will wait too late. Because it can only arrive after gratitude is felt. One must feel the feeling of a thing before they can experience it. And gratitude is the basic feeling of prosperity. Gratitude is an appreciative awareness. It's a conscious awareness of something shown, of a kindness shown, or of something received. But it is an awareness in the feeling nature. You see, gratitude is not an idea. Gratitude is a feeling in the silence of one's being. If you will point to where you feel gratitude, it is not in your head. It's right here. When gratitude is flowing, it's in the very center of your being. It's right here, just back of your diaphragm. And it's the feeling that corresponds to a kindness shown or something received. Now, if gratitude is a feeling, then what is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is the expression of that feeling. It's the singing of the joy song of the soul. letting that vibration begin to flow. It's an outer acknowledgement of the inner feeling that you have for the favor that has either been received or is about to be received. Why should you not feel as good because you're going to get something as you would after you get it? Do you know that you're going to get it? Do you know that your good is coming? Then feel grateful for it now. And begin to speak the word of that gratitude. Thankfulness is the act of expressing gratitude, especially to God. Thanksgiving takes the inner vibration of your silence and gives it the power of the spoken word and takes that word, that idea, that feeling, and adorns it or clothes it with the magnificence of your whole being. It takes gratitude and makes it a living thing. It gives it the quality of your own personality. You show me a grateful person, a truly grateful person, someone that appreciates their days and their nights and the rising of the sun and the setting of that same sun and all of the events that transpire between those two moments. And I'll show you a magnificent being in whose presence you would sit for hours, feel and love and be inspired. Now, if we've accepted completely with our whole hearts, that's wholeheartedly, that there is an infinite intelligence from which all things flow, and if we have come to believe that this magnificent and beneficent infinite presence responds to what we feel, then the law is, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. So that your increasing vibration of gratitude becomes your movement toward God and his movement toward you. God responds to your vibration or to the emotional reaction that you have to life. And it can be no other way. And this is the story of the prodigal son with which you're so familiar, returning to the father. And you remember that simultaneously as he moved out to meet the father moved out to meet him. It was this kind of emotion, a simultaneous movement of the two coming together. The moment that your vibration of gratitude begins to express itself, you are drawing close to the infinite love and power of God that responds to every need that you have. Now, the next thing that took place in that movement of the Father and the Son coming together was that the Son spoke to the Father. And instantly, the Father spoke to the Son. And the remarkable thing about this story and the principle that is back of this story is this, that the Father didn't just speak in words. He didn't just have a nice conversation with his Son and say, "Gosh, I've missed you, kid. I knew you were going to get into a lot of trouble. I'm glad to have you back. Now go milk the cows." He didn't say that. He said some nice things to the boy, absolving him of all guilt and blame. But instantly, everything that the father said produced some good. Shoes on his feet, rings on his finger, clothing on his back, food for his body, and he even sent the servants to kill the fatted calf so that they could have a party and eat, drink, and be merry, the father said. And all this happened instantly. The father spoke, and things began to appear all around that boy so that that poverty-stricken son who was not worthy of anything, he was a poor, miserable sinner like you thought you were. He'd been living in the pig pen of his life, of his experience. And instantly, in the twinkling of an eye, he was rich. He made his demonstration. But he made his demonstration in his own consciousness because this was a movement in consciousness. He moved out of where he had been inside himself. Up, he said, "I will rise. I will go up to my source, my father supplier." And he did not ask for a thing. He asked for no things, but received everything that he could have desired and more. You see, his good was in his attitude. His good was in the change that took place within him, his attitude. And can't you feel that change in vibration right now? Have you ever been in the presence of someone that was hard-headed, bull-headed, knew where their good was, made all kinds of mistakes, they still were, and all they wanted was another $20 to spend? Wanted none of your advice, no thank you. And suddenly, a change came over them inside themselves. There was a melting, a softness, a warmness, a movement, a sense of gratitude. They became aware of the good that they had. Can't you feel that happening? The moment that it happens, a principle is fulfilled. There is a movement. But then let that person begin to speak the words, thanksgiving. It can be a very simple thing. The first word can be, I'm sorry. I didn't understand. It was my fault. I will try. I would like to change. Can you help me? Can you help me? Aren't you responding to that changed attitude that you feel right now? Well, this is a principle, and I promise you that the whole universe responds any time that a single soul experiences gratitude. Each time that a principle is duplicated or fulfilled, and all of Jesus' stories are about universal principles, the experience follows the fulfilling of the principle. It always works that way. One more word about giving thanks. On earth, in our human relationships, in the polite society in which we have received our training, we've been taught to give thanks after the good has been received. We teach our children, when they receive something, to say, now thank you. And we've been taught that unless someone gives you something, to thank them would be presumptuous. You would be perhaps indicating that they ought to do something that they don't want to do. Well, in heaven, or in our spiritual nature, in that world in which we're making our conscious contact with God, we must change our thinking and learn to give thanks in advance, before the good appears and before the eye can see it. In the 11th chapter of John, we have a good example of that. Jesus said, Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, of course. Is that presumptuous to say to God, I thank you for hearing me? You always hear me. You always respond to my need. It's the most fantastic thing I've ever seen, God. Every time I call upon you and believe it, this good appears all around me. What a marvelous universe I live in. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you for the good that I see and for the larger good that I don't even see yet, but I know it's coming because you always hear me. Remember in the 8th chapter of Mark when he took the fishes and loaves and fed 5,000 people? And later on they picked up baskets full of food that were left over. He first gave thanks that it was about to happen. He said, I know it's going to happen. Thank you. Thank you in advance. Now let's assume that your good is coming and begin to give thanks for that good. Now let's make a further assumption in principle and assume that your demonstration has been made and that your good has appeared. Would you like to keep it? Your good has come. Now, would you like to keep it? Your demonstration is here, and there's a big grin on your face, and you're looking at it, and you're marveling, and you're just telling everybody about your demonstration. I can tell you how to lose it quickly. I know how to lose it quickly. I can tell you exactly how to blow the whole deal, just instantly. Immediately begin to take personal credit for it. There's a great tendency to do this. Here we are powerless and nothing is happening and we cry and pray and meditate and suddenly our good appears and there's a great tendency for something to rise up within us and lean back with about this pose and say, I wonder why I thought I had all those problems. look what I have done. Start whispering to yourself and saying to others, look what I did. And that will blow the whole system sky high. Because you and I didn't do anything except fulfill the conditions that permitted God to do something. And we can never take any credit. Self-praise is a vibration. It's a vibration that leads to nothing. Now, if you want nothing, begin to praise yourself. Get puffed up about something. And nothing is what you'll get in the end. You'll get it in the end. Nothing. To praise is to express strong, warm approval and admiration. It's to commend, to applaud. How often in a strong performance by an artist, you applaud with great feeling, don't you? You extol the virtues or you exalt. You are proclaiming the excellence of what your eye sees. And to praise is to express respectful, grateful tribute formally and specifically to the source of your good, or to acknowledge the quality and value of the good itself, taking no personal credit, giving all credit to the source. And the attitude of gratitude and words and actions of thanksgiving and praise are so powerful as to be beyond human intellectual understanding, and that's why we hear so little of it upon our earth. Have you noticed on our television programs recently how many of those programs are keyed to people criticizing each other and calling that good humor? People whose words are sharp and cutting. Oh, my goodness. Gratitude, thanksgiving, praise. This is the last and the great commandment of prosperity. As you move forward into your new and unfolding experience, practice the feeling of gratitude as constantly as you possibly can. Remember that you're a living part of a loving, responding universe. You're a magnificent being. The fact that you're alive is something to fall down upon your knees a dozen times a day and say, thank you, God. Thank you for the good that is and for the larger good that's unfolding. Be grateful for all things. Nothing is good or bad except feeling makes it so. And show your gratitude always in every situation. Because gratitude keeps you in tune with the infinite power that has created the universe, and it keeps you connected to the creative forces that sustain the universe. I thank you, Father, for your riches now. And show your appreciation not only to God, but to everyone around you, to your family, your friends, to your co-workers. To the intellect, it's almost embarrassing, this attitude of gratitude and words of praise and thanksgiving. Let's eliminate from our language those words that would demean, belittle. Everyone craves appreciation. When I was a child, orphaned at the age of 6, I can remember walking to school, not stepping on cracks in sidewalks, looking around, wondering if somebody could notice and reach out and touch me on my head and say, gosh, what a marvelous little boy that is. There's something inside me that still wants that, and the same thing exists inside you. Everyone craves appreciation, so give them that appreciation, the acknowledgement of the good, of the excellence that you see within them. But the universe absolutely requires it of us. No, it demands it. We cannot move beyond where we are until we can behold the excellence of life and speak words of the recognition of that excellence. Every moment of the day, think of your feeling and of your language recently and change it dramatically. Speak no words that are not thankful in their nature and praiseworthy in fact. and give all credit to God. Know that your good is unfolding, and thank God for that good even before it appears. Let that feeling begin to move as you say, I thank you, Father, that you have heard me, and I know that you hear me always. This is the last and the greatest and the most difficult of the commandments of prosperity. So it is.
This concludes the final tape in this series entitled Prosperity Principles That Work by Jack Boland.